Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we go. Happy Thursday, everybody. The madness begins officially, although we've lived it the last two nights.
Oof. Yeah, congrats. See you.
Rock 'em, sock 'em basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you like defense, masking bad offense, if you like really good defense, you got that the last couple of nights. And congrats to CU. Told you yesterday, I said, watch out. These Boise State Broncos, they're going to...
Oh, they're pesky.
They're pesky.
They're pesky.
They're going to hang around. They're going to make you work. And they did. But the bus persevered in a style that, you know, they weren't comfortable with. But they found a way. They adapted. Made the big plays down the stretch. Tristan Da Silva was fantastic. Big Eddie Lampkin down low.
That dude is a big dude.
That's a big man.
That is a big dude.
That is a big, big man. So they get the win. They'll move on. They will play on Friday, tomorrow, against Florida. But now, March Madness begins today, officially, round one. And CSU will be playing later today against Texas. That'll be at 4:50 our time on TNT. Texas, a 2.5-point favorite. I like the Rams.
You like the Rams?
I do. I do.
Like the way I like the way they played. Man, I tell you what, I like the way the Buffs played, too. Who's the cat for Boise State that's supposed to be their big offensive player?
Dagenhart.
Dagenhart. Deep into the second half, he had two buckets.
Yeah, they did a great job on him.
Dagenhart. That is kind of a good, it's like Dragonheart.
Yeah.
Dagenhart.
Game of Thrones.
Stop dagging my heart around. Right? Right?
Who are you? I belong to the House of Dagenhart.
Yeah. Dagenhart. Sounds like an offshoot of Hogwarts. So it's the bad house.
That's, you know, right.
Like it's
right.
Like a temporary house. You're, yes, not quite in yet.
Who are we playing again? Who are we playing in Quidditch today?
Yeah.
Oh, Dagenhart.
House of Dagenhart. But they shut his butt down.
Yeah, they did.
Which was nice.
That was really nice. So congratulations to both the Rams and the Buffs. Rams fans, did you find yourself maybe rooting for the Buffs a little bit more than you thought you would? Why do I even bother?
Yeah, Dagenhart finished with 6 points.
Yeah.
Way to go, Tyson.
March Madness starts today. For those of you who are waking up this morning with a cough, don't think I'm going to be able to make it in today. Good hooky day today.
Oh, yeah.
Good hooky day.
This is a good day drinking day.
Good day drinking day.
Yeah, just to have a couple of pops. You know, the TV on all day long, just kind of bouncing around. I got branches to cut today. That's going to take me.
Well, get it done before 4:50.
Yeah, it'll take me. I got about 2 hours of outside work.
All right, well, do that. Let's say between 1 and 3.
That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Come inside, get cleaned up, get relaxed, hit the couch, or as you like to do, lay on the floor with your feet up on the coffee table.
I'll do the couch because I'll do some reading and have the basketball game as well.
All right, then I see a nap in your future.
My eyes are going to get tired.
They're going to get tired.
I got a little pasty yesterday. I don't know what's going on. Like,
you your know, eyes got pasty?
Yeah, like sticky.
Your eyes got sticky?
Yeah, they got sticky.
Like a pink eye types thing? You didn't? Conjunctivitis?
Yeah, it's like I had, like, I don't know what I've...
You woke up with the goo?
Yeah, just goopy. I felt goopy yesterday.
Anybody who's ever had pink eye, conjunctivitis, you wake up, you're like, eye boogers all over the place.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. It just felt like I needed an eye drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's a great question. Tell you what. One, you can choose. It's amazing how these things pop into my head. You can choose
that's
one.
A big head.
You can.
There's a lot of stuff.
Touche.
Popping in and out of there.
Touche. You can choose one day a year to play hooky from work to go watch a sporting event.
Ooh.
What would it be?
Oh.
Because start putting the list together. You got
opening, opening day.
Opening day.
Is it great?
Opening day.
Yeah.
March Madness. Thursday at the Masters or Friday at the Masters. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want to play hooky and watch the Masters. That's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, those of you who, you know, can get over to like a spring training site, you know, spring training baseball. So I'll just throw that out on RamosLaw.com text line.
Yeah, I just think when it comes to kind of hanging out with your buddies, maybe, like I said, do a little day drinking, watch it. To me, it's got to be either opening day or the first day of March Madness.
Ooh, yeah, but
opening day's pretty
round
cool.
One at the Masters is pretty cool too. That's not bad.
But it's not like round one of the Masters doesn't feel like a place you go to the bar to watch.
True.
You watch that at home by yourself.
True. On the RamosLaw.com text line, I'm glad the Buffs won, but if they played like they did last night, they're not going to stand a chance. That first half was sloppy. Yeah, but I think I don't think you put that on the Buffs as much as you just got to give credit to Boise State. That's the way they play.
Yeah, Boise State.
And they dragged the Buffs into that kind of a game. And I think instead of being, I guess, pessimistic about the way the Buffs played, I would actually look at it from an optimist view that they played a style that, quite frankly, is not their kind of style, and they found a way to get it done. So, that's actually a good thing.
Who's the old Villanova coach? Names escape me right now.
Jay Wright?
Yeah, Jay. So, Jay, Jay's a good dude, by the way, really good guy. But Jay, I think, said on the broadcast, you know, one of the things about March Madness is in your preseason, oftentimes you schedule teams that you know stylistically bother you, because to get through to win a national championship, you're going to have two or three teams that you have to face that stylistically aren't great for you. And I thought it was a really good point about, you know, like you're talking about CU, Boise State. You're going to have to face a team that basically matches up well and makes you play a style that you don't want to play, and you've got to learn how to win those games.
So have some fun with that. You can choose one day a year. Now, this is a work day, not a weekend day. This is a work day that you blow off work and call in sick so that you can go watch sports. What is it? Also, coming up next, is there more evidence that suggests a Broncos rebuild actually is the easy decision to make? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
Well, I was going to ask if anybody had seen it, but judging by our RamosLaw.com text line, plenty of you did. The Russell Wilson
he can't help himself.
Workout video, you know, he's just been chomping at the bit for the last year, ever since Sean Payton put the kibosh on being able to do him last year. You know he's just been itching, and he and his crew were out in
full force,
just like Steven Spielberg-esque cinematography.
We've got content to deliver to the people.
So, on the RamosLaw.com text line, the Russell Wilson workout video is cringy to the max. Smear that delusional fraud. He's the biggest he's the biggest catfish in sports history. All right, you asked. There you go.
I do have to say, though, there was this incredible juxtaposition in that video of one thing that's entirely true and then one thing that's completely false.
All right, what was true?
What was true was He held the ball for about 7 seconds before he threw the damn thing against air. So that was true.
Okay.
What was patently false is he was throwing from the pocket in those videos. Give me a break. You don't throw from the pocket. You escape out the back of the wagon.
Well, it's funny you say that. Another one came in. Did Mark notice that Russ did not throw in the middle of the field in his workout video?
Yeah, he did. He did hit the edges, didn't he?
With another one, smear him to death. The biggest phony in NFL history.
Oh my gosh! You would think that at some point, this is the reason that, you know, when everybody goes, boy, you're gonna have to eat crow when Russell Wilson leads the Steelers to the playoffs, man. He's going to show you. And this is exactly why I don't think he will, because that to me is not taking responsibility for the last 2 years where you have fallen off the map. That is just like the whole look at me. It's not my fault. Look at my workout. Like, you know, it's what cost me dinner.
Another text.
You know what cost me dinner?
What cost you dinner?
The Brandon Langley.
When he put
the video out, and I was like, okay, if you put a bunch of cones and, you know, and PVC pipes on the field, yes, you're my guy. I want, like, stop with this ridiculousness. It has no bearing on your ability to play or not. Like, that's what, like, you're making a decision, and that's not what you struggle with. Your feet and moving around and throwing a guy that's doing a deep crosser toward the sideline, you know, on air. That's not what you struggle with. You struggle with reading progressions.
Another texter says, Russ is living rent-free in your heads, LOL. No, living rent-free is when you get all upset and frustrated and keep talking about a guy because you're angry and all that. No, this is just, we're having fun and we're mocking him. It's not living rent-free. That's just, wow. Did you see that video? Yikes. What's he doing here? What's he trying to prove? Does he realize how stupid he looks? That's not living rent-free.
Apparently not. Apparently he doesn't. Look at me. I'm doing the ice shuttle. 5 back, 10 back. Woo! My gosh. I just want to, like, seriously.
So
I'd like to just sit him down and go, okay, you do realize how stupid you look, right?
Well, just saying. That's no longer our problem.
No.
It kind of is.
Did you see the report, by the way?
Well, hold on to that.
Okay.
Hold on to that.
All right, we're not done with the
Russell Wilson news.
Okay. Wait.
Rusty's will not like this, but Mike Clay of ESPN, he's their longtime numbers and NFL roster analyst, looks at it analytically speaking. And in his player-by-player, unit-by-unit analysis, where do you think the Broncos roster currently, their current roster, is ranked among NFL rosters?
Oh, it'll be just above, like, Carolina. It probably is above 2 or 3. You're probably around 30, around 30-ish. 29, somewhere in there.
31 out of 32 teams. Only the Giants.
No, the Giants
have a worse roster in his rankings.
Than Carolina? Did they not put Carolina in there?
Did they forget that Carolina is in the NFL?
Brian Burns went from Carolina to the Giants. Although that dude shut her down last year. He shut her down.
So we've had this debate for years. The Broncos roster. Is it a good roster? Is it a good roster being badly coached?
Mm-hmm.
All of that. Is this roster that bad?
You know what's interesting to me? Yeah, the roster hasn't been good for years.
But has it bottomed out?
And what's interesting to me is I had some ass clown on the text line yesterday, and I didn't even reference it. Oh, you guys are part of the national media who said the Broncos roster is so good, and now Sean's here and you guys are, you know, carrying the water for Sean, and now you're saying it's bad. First off, if you're going to point the finger at us, be correct about what you're pointing at. Because you and I are the ones who have said, when the national media was saying, hey, this receiving corps is great, and this that, and the other is great, you and I were saying, pump your brakes. This roster's not that good. And by the way, you know, I mean, I'm the one person in this town. I don't know. I mean, I hate to, you know, point it out, but I'm the one person in this town that's in a NFL facility every week, that's watching a practice every week, that's meeting with two teams every week, that's meeting with two head coaches every week, two play callers every week, two defensive play callers every week, two quarterbacks every week, two defensive stars every week, and probably a dozen other coaches and players during the course of the week. I think I'm the one person that's got the authority in this town to tell you what our roster is and what it isn't. And I will tell you, over the last several years, this roster has been very average at best.
Somebody asked, Mark, what's the nickname? Does Russ have a spot on I Told You So Island? How about Russell's Ravine of Delusion?
The Rusties.
Maybe the Rusty should get a place on the island?
The Rusty should get a place on the island.
I think now that Russ is gone, we need something.
The Rusty Caves of Insanity. Was it Caves of Insanity? Was that a Princess Bride?
Oh.
Was it Caves of Insanity? The Cliffs of Insanity. Russell Wilson, Cliffs of... Give me during the break, give me the yeah, give me the Cliffs of Insanity. They're on the boat heading up toward the Cliffs of Insanity, and they got to take the big rope. That's why they got the giant. They strap them all, you know, to the giant.
Yes.
The Cliffs of Insanity.
The Russell Wilson Cliffs of Insanity. Cliffs of Insanity on Mark's I Told You So Island.
Yeah.
Join me at the Ameristar Blackhawk Casino tomorrow night from 6 to 8 and catch all the March Hoops action on one of their amazing screens. Come enjoy some of the best food in Blackhawk. You know I'm going to be crushing some wings. And register to win some incredible prizes, including a staycation.
I didn't get invited to that,
Well, you're welcome to come in one of their luxurious spa suites and a $250 dining credit that can be used at any of their restaurants, including the Timberline Grill or Fireside Kitchen. I'll see you at the Ameristar Blackhawk.
What time does the car service pick me up?
The white panel van will be there. At about 5:15.
Because I would love to come up there, but that sounds like work.
Be on the lookout.
All right.
Morning Brew, coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, congratulations to the Buffs. Night after the Rams won their first four game, so too did the Buffs as they beat Boise State to advance to the first round of the NCAA tournament tomorrow against Florida. Tad Boyle going up against one of his good friends, the head coach of Boise, had a lot of respect for a Boise team that they were able to finally put away.
I knew it was going to be a battle against these guys. You just knew from watching film and watching that team all year. They got some tough-minded guys. They're a quality program. And, you know, we used to scrimmage Boise before the season started. We stopped that probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. But we always get something out of that because when you play them, you got to match their physicality and their toughness. It doesn't matter who they have. You know, they got a totally different team now than when we played them back in the day.
Leon Rice, the longtime coach there at Boise, he and Tad Boyle are bros and found themselves coaching against each other. So, bittersweet night for Tad Boyle, but he'll take the victory. Move on. Were you impressed by the Buffs? Did they play? Did they win in a way that makes you think they could do some damage in this tournament?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that, but I was impressed with the toughness. I was impressed with their ability to take, what's the kid's name, Degenhart?
Yep.
And shut him down. He's their, you know, he was kind of their go-to offensive player, only got 6 points. So they shut him out. That to me was impressive. I don't know as they go further. I just, they're,
I think they got a shot. I'll tell you why. I think one thing that's really important in the college basketball tournament, maybe not so much the NBA playoffs, but point guard play. If you have a really good point guard that can just control things out there.
Simpson, you like
AJ
him?
AJ Simpson, Stevens for CSU. It's for those reasons that I really like both teams' chances. And then they've got a nice mix. CU's got a nice mix of size. They got some rangy guys.
How about athleticism?
I think
Da Silva is really athletic, but how about overall athleticism when you start getting up against the big boys?
I think they're both pretty athletic, and I think they're both really well coached. And
yeah, but this is where you and I part ways a little bit, because one time you tried to tell me how athletic Joker was. Is this like athletic compared to the big programs, or is this athletic compared to me, Mike Evans? Because sometimes I think you get a little,
I'm projecting a little bit like what I wish I could have been.
Right, you kind of almost get a little rusty on me. You almost go a little rusty on me.
Next on the Morning Brew, yes, CU wins. They'll wait and play tomorrow. It's been a whirlwind for CSU as they didn't have much time to react and prepare and get to Dayton to win their game. And now they turn right around and they head out on the road to play Texas today at 4:50. So, you know, the rushed, compressed schedule, does that eventually catch up with you, or is there a certain amount of, like, we're just riding adrenaline right now, and this is fun. Whee! Let's go.
Yeah, I think there's the adrenaline aspect of that. I think that's right. I think the other thing is there's not a lot of time, so you can't overthink a lot of things, right?
True.
You're just gonna have to go out there and play. And the other thing is not a lot of adjustment time, so you have to go out and play your game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out and play to your identity. Sometimes time off, this is what hurts NFL teams when they have the bye. They get away from what they are. You know, they're planning and they're plotting and they're going through, and then they outsmart themselves. And you're not going to have time to outsmart yourself, so you're just going to have to rely on what you do best and play the way that you play. So I think that to me is a good thing.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Broncos made another late in free agency move, looking for a bargain as they signed swing tackle Matt Peart to a one-year deal. Former draft pick of the New York Giants, telling us why he chose the Broncos.
Honestly, it's just, you know, me personally is looking for a fresh start, and you know, never, you know, provided the opportunity for me. And you know, like I said, nothing but great. You know, it's a great organization, great history here. So just being a part of that, great culture, great atmosphere. So yeah, definitely have to tap in.
Does he not know that Sean Payton's mean? Did he not hear that he's mean?
Well, apparently, word has not reached East Coast.
Yeah, Matt. It's Matt Peart.
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 Almost like parrot, only Peart.
Peart.
The only reason I know that is because I did a bunch of Giants games years ago.
Peart.
Peart.
Peart. What do you know about him? Anything?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think Matt's a good player. I think he's a automatic better swing tackle than you've had here. If somebody goes down, can be a starter. Like he has proven that he can be a starter. I think sometimes it's a little bit hard when all of a sudden you got to focus on one when you've been the swing guy. But I like him as a player. I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's better than the swings we've had here.
Yeah, who have we had
recently?
The Cam Flemings, Calvin Anderson types.
Yeah.
You say this is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, and I think that if he's pressed into service and he can settle down in one spot, he could be a decent tackle for you. So I think that's a smart move. I actually liked him in a couple games that he had a start and kind of when the Giants were just a mess offensively. And this guy bounced around and played in multiple games at different spots. Sometimes he'd play some of the game at right, and then he'd have to go in at left. And I think he acquitted himself pretty well in doing that in a very tough role. So I like that. I like that pick.
And finally,
I like you a lot.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Nuggets tonight hosting the New York Knicks. And the Knicks, a little banged up right now, although they did get back OG Anunoby, who was a terrific pickup for them and has given them a huge spark. But he will sit this game out tonight as he's coming back from an elbow. And he played last Saturday at Sacramento, but he's going to sit this one out tonight. So Nuggets, once again, facing an opponent who will be shorthanded. And, you know, for anybody out there who says, oh, you want to beat the best at their best. Hey, I don't feel that way. You don't feel that way. Path of least resistance. Sign me up.
By the way, though, this will be a nice test. The New York Knicks are a good team. They got that. The Brunson kid can really play. This is a nice. This feels to me a little bit like taking on Miami. A little bit like taking on the Celtics.
No. Difference.
Different.
Celtics are talented but not tough. The Knicks are tough but not necessarily as talented.
Not as talented, but it.
Blue collar.
My point is. This is a team you may face. I don't think the Knicks are going to the NBA Finals, but this is kind of a bully, if you will, in the East. And I think they'll be up for this game.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, there'll be a lot of New York fans there. So, once again, Nugget fans, no doubt making a killing with their season tickets in the lower bowl. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Troy Rank took in the Dion show yesterday in Boulder, and man, it was a show. We'll give the firsthand observations from Troy. He'll join us next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Troy Rank, columnist now for the Denver Post, one of the lords of the keyboard. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, you took the trek to Boulder to take in the Deion Sanders show yesterday, his first press conference of spring football, and I had a chance to watch it last night. Wow, he did not disappoint.
Yeah, listen, that's the first time I've been in a presser with him. I've seen most of them. I wrote in my column, he's part Tony Robbins, part Sermon. You know, you can feel his energy. Especially, you know, given, you know, he reminds you, I covered him as a player. It reminds me of Deion as a player. He's in a better position. He feels like his staff's better. He has better players. But, you know, as I wrote in my column, he's never going to be just another coach. There's never been anything like him as a college football coach. And what he did last year was amazing. But now it's about winning. I mean, there's a sense of urgency because Shedeur Sanders, Shiloh, and Travis Hunter are all going to the NFL after this. So as much as there's been excitement around the hype, this year they've got to show they can, you know, finish and win. And I think anything less than 7 wins would be a massive disappointment, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's just an interesting cat. And you know, what did he say about, do you have any specifics that he talked about with his coaching staff and with what he thinks this team can accomplish?
Well, Livingston, they brought in as a defensive coordinator from the Bengals. You get the idea of the pro concepts and how they're going to use them differently, especially in coverage, that they should be better there. I mean, they gave up. I mean, I don't even know how many yards they gave up on crossing routes last year, that it was embarrassing. I mean, they bottomed out against Washington State. And I'm not blaming just the coordinators. But then offensively, Pat Shurmur, you know, I'm not his biggest fan. Anyone that's listened to the show knows that. But Pat Shurmur, there's two things working in Pat Shurmur's favor. He and Shedeur Sanders work well together. Shedeur clearly likes him. And secondly, they're going to try to run the ball more. And they need to get him under center. I know, Mark, you would love that. But you cannot throw 55 times a game and then blame your line for everything. Like, at some point, you have to run the football. And I think we'll see that as well. But it was funny. I asked Deion about, you know, how he thought he did as a game day coach last year, because I think there were times he clearly looked like, you know, he needed help on the sideline or whatever, and he didn't appreciate the question, which I understand.
No.
But he said, you know, I'm my harshest critic. I'll always be more harsh critic than any of you, and he's looking at me. But then in his last answer, the presser, he came back to, well, one of the things I learned was about coaching, and that while you think it's a fit, it's not really a fit. And he finally allowed that it wasn't you know, it wasn't a fit with Sean Lewis. It wasn't a fit with Kelly, his defensive coordinator, and that's why he changed. So we'll see. You know, synchronicity with those coordinators is going to be important. He's got, what, counting him, nine of his 12 coaches have either coached in the NFL or played in the NFL. So maybe this is the group that kind of gets everything aligned, and they're going to be better. Their offensive line is going to be way better. That's clear. I mean, they basically revamped the entire line. But I just think Deion has something to prove as a coach. He holds his players accountable to a very high standard, which I appreciate. But now as a coach, I think he needs to take the next step forward.
Visiting with Troy Rank, Denver Post columnist. Troy, how are you reading the quarterback tea leaves for the Broncos in the draft?
Well, it's certainly their position to take one, given their inactivity. You know, they weren't going to overspend for Sam Darnold. They weren't in on trades for, you know, they didn't sign Jimmy Garoppolo or Drew Lock or Jameis Winston, and they didn't want to trade multiple picks for Sam Howell. And everyone asked, like, why not Justin Fields in a six-rounder? And I'm sure you guys have talked about this. I was traveling this week. But Justin Fields is Russell Wilson. He just does not fit Sean Payton's offense. Whether he's younger or more athletic, it doesn't matter. He doesn't fit the offense. But their posture suggests they're going to take one. The curious thing to me is, if that guy's J.J. McCarthy, and you're sitting at 12, everyone I talk to now believes McCarthy could go in the top four and not fall further than the top six. Well, that's the Trey Lance trade. That's three ones and a three. I mean, do you want to do that for McCarthy? I mean, I like the guy, but I'm going to be honest, I don't like him that much. So, or do you stay at 12? And take Bo Nix, or do you trade back and take Bo Nix at 20 and then pick up a second rounder? But everything positions them to take one, but we're going to find out. We're going to find out how much Sean loves one, because if they're going to move up, man, that's going to be an enormous price for a team that's rebuilding. And rebuilding means rebuilding to the draft. And I don't know if you want to sacrifice that much collateral, but if you love one, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares 5 years later if that was your guy.
Let me ask you this. So let's say, because everything gets pushed up, as you know, when people take quarterbacks where they probably shouldn't take quarterbacks, that means great football players fall to you. Could you see a scenario where they take a Brock Bowers at 12 and then wait until the third round and get a Spencer Rattler or a Michael, or like a Michael, what's the guy's name from?
Pratt.
Yeah, Michael Pratt. Could you see that scenario playing out?
I mean, there's no doubt that if four quarterbacks go in the top four or top six, there's going to be players pushed down that you're like, man, I can't believe that guy's there. And that could be an offensive tackle. Brock Bowers, there's a very good chance he could be there at 12, especially if the Chargers trade out or they take a lineman at five. I mean, they like Bowers. I know that. You know, again, it's not the history of taking tight ends in the first round is not great. But they need one, and he is one of the best that's come out in years. I mean, he's kind of that Kyle Pitts type player. So could I see them staying there and taking Bowers, staying there and taking Jared Verse, staying there and taking an offensive tackle? Yeah, I could. I mean, they need good players. That's the thing. I mean, the reason they're rebuilding, whether it's unannounced or not, is they need more good players. And so the idea of taking the best player on the board at 12, that's appealing. That's appealing because that person's going to be a plug-and-play starter. I mean, I just looked at a graphic this morning, the 2020 draft class. Every one of them's gone except Justin Cernod. You know, great special teams guy. He's a special teams guy. You can't keep missing on the guts of your draft and have any roots to your rebuild. You can't do it. I mean, because free agency, you overspend, and in most cases, you're overspending for mediocrity. Guys reach free agency for a reason. So could I see him staying there, Mark? Taking an edge rusher, taking Brock Bowers, I could. I mean, the strong argument is to move back from like 12 to 20 or 22, take the player you want there, and then you pick up a second-round pick. And what would be interesting if you do it that way is you would then have the opportunity to then trade back into the first for maybe a Bo Nix or a quarterback to pick up that fifth-year option. So, man, there's a lot of things on the table for them, but they seem to have a clear vision of where they're going moving forward, which that's good.
Troy, last one, about 45 seconds. I know as a baseball guy you're following this. What do you make of this Shohei Ohtani story? This seems fishy. Something smells here.
It's not going away. And the fact that the interpreter on Tuesday night told ESPN that Ohtani was involved and that he paid off his debt, he's a great friend, and it was $4.5 million, and he didn't like it, but he's the one that paid off all my debts. I can't thank him enough for this. And then when before the story airs and ESPN reaches out to Otani's lawyers and they say, no, he knew nothing about it and he was scammed of $4.5 million, something doesn't jive. I mean, it's just hard for me to believe Otani wouldn't know his friend is gambling. They're around each other all the time. I've been around Otani a little bit. Those two are inseparable. And if you've been around people that gamble, and it doesn't bother me, but it's if you're around people that gamble and gamble that much, it would be hard. You'd be hard pressed to tell me he didn't know he was gambling. So that's what it's going to be interesting to see where this comes out. Is this all the interpreter that had a major gambling problem and Otani covered for him, or is the interpreter suddenly becoming the fall guy? I mean, I don't know, man. This story is just really odd.
All right, we'll follow it. Thank you, Troy.
You got it. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver Post columnist on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Good stuff there from Troy. Check out his article on Deion Sanders and the bus today at the Denver Post. Four Down Territory coming up next.